Okay, guys, welcome back to the series. I'll live. This is Kevin. This will be the last episode. And in the last episode, I want to touch on is sleep. I personally value sleep very, very much so. And I think it's very, very important for us to have very good sleep habits. I recommend another book, right? Or you can find Matthew Walker, who is a UK scientist on sleep. Why We Sleep is a great book. I think he's working on like a second book right now on the topic of sleep, and he has a lab, I think in Harvard or Massachusetts or MIT. I don't remember specifically, but some of my best sleep habits were coming from Matthew Walker. So I highly recommend you check that book out. I think we did a series on that, Why We Sleep, or How to Sleep Better. This is like a couple years ago now, so it's in the feed if you want to find it. So what Peter Attia think about sleep, right? And then there's some very interesting stats. Like, that's why I love Peter Attia, is that he has these very interesting numbers and stats on sleep. So here we go. Peter argues that sleep is the best medicine for your brain. The reason is every single animal have a stage of sleep, or do some phases of resting or sleeping as their day-to-day life. For example, dolphin sleeps, horses sleep, killer whales sleeps, dog sleep, cat sleep, right? So why would human be any different? The topic of how long we should sleep, that is kind of interesting, right? For humans, for Homo sapiens, is usually 7.5 to 8.5 hours per night. And then if you sleep more than that, can cause troubles. If you sleep less than that, can also cause troubles as well. A very interesting side note that I wrote down is, if you're an athlete, if you don't sleep well, none of the stuff that we talked about previously mattered, right? So if you're a top athlete and if you don't sleep well, your VO2 max will drop, your endurance ability will drop, your performance will drop. In the sense of professional driver, their reaction time will be longer, which is bad. Basketball players, their shooting percentage will drop as well, right? So in a sense, if you're interested in becoming the best athlete that you can be, good sleep is essentially a performing enhancing drug, right? And that is really interesting. And then he also uses this example, very, very interesting, is SEAL training, right? If you guys don't know, SEAL team is one of the most highly trained military personnel in the US Navy, in the US Army, Army or Navy. Probably Navy. Pardon me. I know nothing about military stuff here in the US. One of the anecdotes that Peter mentioned is the SEALs team. One of the training that they do in the what they call a hell week is sleep deprivation, right? Like they will be allowed like a couple hours of sleep and then getting woken up by the drill sergeant and then go run on the beach with a log carrying on their shoulders, right? So the average, SEAL soldiers, they look young, they might be in top tier shape, but they have old man blood. So what that means is their blood results show that their actual age is actually like men that are decades older, like decades. Why? Because there's no rhyme or reason for training. Like training can begin at 9 p.m. or 3 a.m., right? And then they are required to stay awake for 24 hours whenever they're doing a deprivation training. And they always have elevated insulin, and then they have low testosterone, right? So those are the hallmark sign of the blood work of an older male, right? So in a sense, if you are sleep deprived, your insulin response is lowered by 30% or limited by 30%. What that means is your body is less able to process the sugar intake, the glucose. We talked previously on this series on why that matters, right? So that's sleep deprivation. for longer sleep session, why that's troublesome is if you sleep more than, say, 11 hours, that means your sleep quality is poor, is very, very poor. Let me repeat that. If you sleep more than 11 hours, I don't know anybody that has that, but maybe, you know, somebody else have that, but that means your poor quality of sleep and everything that we talk about with sleep deprivation apply to you as well, right? So if you have poor sleep and then, you know, if you have a very stressful job, say you're a doctor, you're a physician, you work on Wall Street, whatever, high stress leads to poor sleep, and poor sleep doesn't help with high stress, and you kind of get into this vicious cycle right there. And when we're talking about diet, right, poor sleep, if you say you're sleeping 4 to 5 hours per night, it really increases your hunger hormone, you reach higher calorie food, more sugary food, you're on average eating 300 extra calories per day, and that can lead to an issue as well. And if you have poor sleep, right, if you sleep less than 6 hours, again, these are just like very alarming stats right here, you are 26% more likely to trigger a cardio event or like a heart disease event, and then 20% chances of a heart attack as well. So assessing sleep is very, very important. I personally, I used to wear an Oura Ring. As O-U-R-R-A, that was all okay. Now I have an Apple Watch, right? So I monitor my sleep very, very closely. And the way to improve your sleep, I just want to go over it very, very quickly because we did a lot of episodes on this a couple of years ago. So go find that series or listen to Matthew Walker's podcast or read his book, Why We Sleep. But the few tidbits how to improve your sleep are, number one, don't drink alcohol. Zero. Like one alcohol shot can significantly alter your sleep. Just one shot, right? If you have to, one drink before 6 p.m. That's it. Give your body the ability to process alcohol before it can ruin your sleep, right? Secondly, don't eat anything 3 hours before bed. If you go to bed at 10, don't eat anything after 7. If you're going to bed at midnight, don't eat anything after 9, right? Leaving your phone, the simulating electronics out of the bedroom. I'm personally against having a TV in bed. Part of it is a blue light emitter. I give you all excited, the bright light. Secondly is, it will ruin your sleep habit, right? So like you should go into your bedroom. This is from like Matthew Walker. Everything should be dark. There should be no light. And your body should be entering into an environment that start to unwind, start to slow down, right? Next, avoid doing anything anxiety promoting 1 hour before. And I'm trying to spend time in sauna before bed. This is actually interesting as well. I personally don't like that because I cannot sleep too hot, right? So the idea of falling asleep, this is like another topic, but the physiological process of falling asleep is your body's temperature needs to drop. I think it was a couple of degrees Fahrenheit for you to fall asleep. Like everybody has to do it. And when you're ready to wake up, your body temperature increases as well. Right, so that's why sleeping in a cooler temperature is better for your sleep because it allows your body to cool down faster, i.e. getting to sleep state faster, right? I personally try that, sauna before bed, and then my body just be like burning. I don't really have that effect. Or maybe like a hot shower before bed, right? So the idea is to raise your body temperature, and then when it cools down, that's when you fall asleep, right? Next, room should be cool, bed should be cool. We talked about this. There's actually my next mattress will be an A-Sleep mattress where it can actually cool your bed as you go to bed and then warm your bed up when you're awake up. Darken the room completely, in a sense that like if you put a hand up, you cannot see it. That's the best way to fall asleep. And then give your time enough time to sleep. I think this is something that I'm very, very, I try to be very disciplined about is I try to get my ass in bed 9 hours before I have to wake up minimum, or at least trying to start like brushing my teeth. I start the wind down routine 9 hours before I have to wake up, because most people think, oh yeah, like, you know, I go to bed, I need 8 hours sleep. So if I go to bed at, if I start to go to bed at 8 hours, then I'm going to have 8 hours sleep. No, like your body typically will spend, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. I think that's on my sleep tracker is I usually fall asleep in 20 to 30 minutes. So what that means is if you go to bed at 8 hours before you wake up, the maximum amount of sleep you're going to get is 7.5, which is not bad, right? But if you're like, hey, I want to do 8 hours, or I want to exceed 8 hours, then you need to get your ass in bed 9 hours before you have to wake up. I've been very, very religious about that, you know, for my own health and for my health, for longevity. And then the last thing is fix your wake up time, right? So try to have a routine that you wake up at a certain time and you go back on a certain time. Our whole body is working based off of the circadian rhythm. So the more rhythm that you can get for your body, the easier it is for you to fall asleep, the easier it is for you to wake up. So it just goes on as a very, very virtuous cycle, a good cycle right there. So, okay, that's sleep. There's the other stuff that I have written down that I feel like should be talked about, but I don't really want to cover it on this podcast. So again, this is one of my favorite books that I've read this year. So much actionable items. And as somebody that has been focusing on this for a long time, even I have a lot of good takeaways, right? Start rocking, right? And then doing all kind of different things, right? Trying to have four protein servings in a day, all that stuff. And then trying to increase my plant based protein intake as well. So what's the conclusion, right? Like, what is Peter, like, what is his like parting advice for people, right? So let's cover that real quick. So Peter thinks this book will be his last book, right? So like everything that goes into this book, I think he spent like 5 years writing this, right? Is a testament of his will and his commitment to longevity. The way that he framed it, I think, is very, very interesting. So I want to share it with you guys, right? There are kind of two ways of thinking about this. And he had this section on emotional health that I didn't really get into, because it's kind of like getting into the therapy section, right? Which I don't really think is very actionable for you guys that are listening to this particular podcast right now. But longevity doesn't matter if your relationship sucks, right? And then you can live a long, miserable life if you don't have any friends with you, right? So kind of I take this as a, you know, as a grain of salt, right? And good longevity practice or good exercise routine will help you with emotional health, but emotional health should not be overlooked, right? That's one thing. And then the most important ingredient for longevity is why, right? WHY. Why do you want to live longer? For what purpose? For whom? What is the goal behind that? And for Peter, the obsession is they're trying to avoid dying. And actually, in the process of avoiding dying, Peter said that he actually avoided living because he's trying to work on these things so diligently, right? And then he famously, right, in the book, in the last chapter, he overlooked his emotional health, caused a lot of trouble, right? So the best way to think about improving health span is physical health and emotional health. And because of his, you know, emotional recovery progress, kind of gave meaning to physical health as well. So the problem here is how do we balance it, right? And Peter also said, and I quote here, people get old when they stop thinking about the future. And that is what I really value in this book is we as people, I guess, you know, like maybe I'm biased, but I feel like younger people, they don't think too much about the future, right? They always talk about the past, and the older people do this too. They always talk about the past, what they did, what they should have done as they get old. But they don't think too far ahead, or they don't think about the future. And when people are thinking about their dreams, their goals, what they're aspiring to be in terms of what they can do when they get older, 65, 75, 85, then they stay young, right? So he ended the book saying, hey, here's to us staying young as we get older. So my personal takeaway, like the minute that I finished listening to the book, I ordered a physical copy so I can reference it, right? That's the first thing that I did. The second thing that I did is I started to, like, you know, like calling my parents, just like, hey, you guys need to start, you know, doing muscle, you know, strength improving exercises, right? The shockingly takeaway for me was people don't know how to age. People don't know how to age well. And I'm not talking about just like looks, right? Oh yeah, like, you know, less wrinkles. No. For people to actually improve health span, it is a lot of work, right? As somebody who just got back from a rucking trip this morning, I went on a little hike with my dogs this morning. I am exhausted, right? So the point here is, it's very challenging to do all these things and to have a process for all these things. And it takes a lot of discipline to get my ass in bed 9 p.m. every single night, regardless of weekend or work days. It's very challenging for some people not to drink, right? Not to stay up late. It's very challenging for people to watch your diet 24/7 or say no to that cheesecake. Everything requires discipline and everything is super duper hard, but we need to do it. And that's one thing that I really appreciative of Peter Attia. I listen to his podcast. I'm a paid subscriber. I love this book. That's why we are spending, like, you know, I don't know, like close to 10 episodes talking about it. Is this is a revelation for me, and this is something that helped me to solidify actionable routines for my health and longevity journey. And why am I doing it, right? I think for me is I'm kind of a futuristic person, right? I think long term, and I try to think more long term, and then I really want to see what the future holds 120 years from now. And that's kind of been my motivation. And then I don't know what my parents' motivation is, right? Like the next time that I see them, I have to like go through this and kind of get them on a routine as well so that I can have more time with them, right? Maybe that's their goal. Maybe that's my goal, right? So that's my takeaway. So hopefully you guys enjoy the book. Please, 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 if you are at least have some health conscious in your daily routine, if you are, you know, trying to spend the time to compare diets, right? Should I go vegan? Should I go Mediterranean? Buy the book, read it, use it as a workbook, have your own routine, because aging is hard. If you have a strong enough reason to do it, you need to do it, and you need to do it early. And that's my message for the podcast. That's my own motto as well, is have a purpose. And let's age well, and let's stay young as we get older. So, all right, guys, that's it for me. Thank you for listening. Have a good day.